The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Megan Hill is with us. Megan is the author of Praying Together. Megan's also an editor for the Gospel Coalition, a regular contributor to Today in the World. She wrote a piece called Never a Better Time for Family Prayer. Megan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm glad you're here, Megan, because John and I have experienced something different when it comes to family prayer. And I'm just trying to be honest when I say this. My family's not all that great at it. It's not that we don't pray, but we don't often pray together. And it's not like we never pray together, but it's not something we do on a daily basis. And I feel badly about it. I want to figure out how to get better.
Yeah, I think that's the experience of a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, I think one thing is, do you pray before meals?
Yes.
Yes.
So I think that's a place to start, right? That's sort of a non-awkward place that we can start, part of our routine, and we just make it a little bit something more. It's not just rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, or, you know, the equivalent, but it's a little bit more praying for our needs, praying for one another. Just a few extra sentences kind of gets you a little bit more into that habit, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, especially at this time, right, when people are home, the family is gathered, you would like to have a little more social distance from each other, probably. But especially this time, this would be a good learning curve. Hey, let's all sit together in the family room. We'll sit together comfortably on the couch, and we'll just all go around in a circle and pray. Have you done this, Megan? Is this a regular part of your spiritual life?
Yeah, sure. It was part of my life growing up as a child. Now, my husband and I have four children. It's part of our life together as well. We do it sort of right before bedtime and share requests, and we even pray for different missionaries or different parts of the world. Certainly now we're praying for the COVID-19 situation, and we take turns praying. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. So what you're doing, you know, you're training your child how to pray effectively.
Yeah, sort of by modeling, and then also I have a little girl who's two, and so she, you know, we feed her sentences, and she repeats them after us. And then my children who are teenagers, who are older, you know, they know how to pray on their own because they've learned in this sort of family circle.
Well, Megan, so when you have, you know, inculcated that type of experience in the lives of your kids, when there's an emergency like we have, it's different, right? All of a sudden, you're not teaching them to pray, but you're encouraging them to do something they're already familiar with.
Right. And it's an experience we all feel, right? We all feel a little bit anxious. We all feel a little bit uncertain. And so grown-ups and kids together can bring those concerns to the Lord.
Yeah. Okay, so talk about your experience with when it really doesn't work. I don't mean when God doesn't answer your prayers. I mean when your kids fight with each other, you and your husband are having a bad day or whatever.
So, Megan, this is good because Kathy talks about this a lot, that she feels as though, and let me speak for you, Kathy.
Yeah, could you?
That I feel as though you feel as though you're a failure somehow and that you don't model well as a family. So when you gather together, it ends poorly.
We're a family that's very authentic, Megan, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and so, you know, so we're not interested in like putting on an act for each other. And so,
thank goodness.
Well, but you know what I mean. So I think we are able to say, you know what, this isn't working or whatever easily. And then the good thing is that we're very close to each other and we enjoy a lot of laughter together. And so sometimes the things that we try to start out in a serious way do devolve into, well, we're all trying to be like super religious and it's not a hard thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I'm going to get fired from Word FM for being honest about our family spiritual
life. So everyone's goofing off during prayer time, basically, is what you're saying.
It's just that sometimes you sit down to have a holy moment, and it devolves into an unholy moment. Right. And I think if you try to maintain it as a holy moment, it gives the impression to your kids that you're somehow deeper than they are, more mature than they are.
Okay,
and
so then
the kids end up being pushed off by it, or off put by it is a better word.
So then this is a matter of being rigid or not.
Yes, I think that's what I'm saying. It's not that we don't pray. It's that oftentimes when we have tried in particular to do something, you know, if we try to do something that's particularly holy, we don't. Talk to me, Megan.
We certainly go through periods like that in our family, whether it's toddlers that are, you know, picking their noses while we pray,
yes,
or teenagers who are like, God, I just don't love this right now.
Right.
Sorry. You know, and I mean, so we've certainly been to this. I do think, you know, Paul says pray without ceasing, right? So he means when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when you end up in giggles on the floor, when it's, you know, 3 minutes long, when it's 15 minutes long, you know, just pray without ceasing.
Don't try to put on an act. All I'm saying is I think I'm particularly attuned to putting on an act. I never want to do that.
No. Or now this has happened, you know, again, that we're praying. My wife will pray about something and I'll sigh like, I've heard that sigh. And, you know, it's just a husband and wife thing. And I think, oh, I'm getting called out on something or whatever.
I mean, right.
Megan, all of a sudden you're a therapist.
You didn't realize how dysfunctional we were until you came on the air.
We're so sorry. We just want to talk about prayer.
Love it.
All right. So, Megan, how old are your kids?
13, 12, 11, and 2.
Okay.
Oh, that spans a lot.
That's a lot. That is a lot. Okay, so I'll try to be serious here for a minute. I think one of the things that now that my girls are older, I have a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old. I think maintaining all of life as an exchange about Christian worldview, about prayer, about talking to God, and not just reserving it for a particular time called family devotions or family prayer or whatever. I think that I'm seeing some of the results of that, which are very beautiful, which is that, you know, talking about Jesus is just a part of life in our house. And I think that's maybe one of the dangers we run into is if we focus just on family prayer, like it's the only time in the day that we're actually remembering who Jesus is, then I think we're probably hurting ourselves in the long run.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in, can we just pray about that right now? You know, you told me you're worried about this upcoming test. You told me you're concerned about this. But let's just pray about that right now.
Just
30 seconds. Just, Lord, she's upset about this thing. You know, please care for this. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
I like that. Just talking about making it just a part of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the bottom line is here is that just start to do it, right? I mean, I don't understand why prayer is weird. Okay, here's another sort of side thing.
Okay.
I grew up Catholic, and every meal we prayed, but we prayed a rote prayer. The prayer is this: Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. We prayed that, I'm sure, 1,001 times with my family every night at 5 o'clock at mealtime. Now, when we gather with a larger extended family and we're already, you know, it's, you know, a holiday or whatever, someone will say, let's pray. And someone will say, you know, knowing that I'm not Catholic, will say, well, should we say the Catholic prayer? Or is Johnny going to pray?
Or is it going to be John's special kind of prayer?
Exactly.
John's weird prayer. I don't know if we all want John's weird prayer.
And all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues and we're off the rails and no one. No, I don't. But you know what I mean? There is that. Rote prayers are fine. If you want to do a rote prayer just to get you started and everybody on board so no one's freaked out.
How many times have we talked about the place of rote prayers? Megan, when we first started the show years ago, I used to say, you know, there's absolutely no place for rote prayer.
Oh, I love
prayer. If you can't talk to God on your own, I've totally changed my viewpoint on that over the years.
Yeah.
So what do you say about that, Megan? What do you say about, are there things you repeat with your kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think that prayer is good. And if you can't figure out a way to pray on your own, if that's super uncomfortable or hard for you to think of, and there's a simple little prayer that you can memorize and say, and you're talking to God from your heart, then that's way better than no prayer. You know, I mean, I think we want to get to a point where we're more comfortable talking with God, right, where we can say things, you know, more spontaneously. But I don't think it's bad to start with something that's clear and biblical and true.
I'm
if we're talking
that.
To God.
Right, right. I'm curious, you know, just as we're having this conversation, the three of us, if this is us, then I would imagine the larger population, and, I, you know, count ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ, then the general population has to be totally freaked or uncomfortable with prayer in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. It's invisible, right? There's not much to look at. It's just a person in a room with their eyes closed, maybe several people together with their eyes closed. It's hard to think, what are we actually doing here? And then the results are not that immediate either. Usually we pray and, you know, maybe it might be years or never that we even see what God's doing. And right. So it's very uncomfortable.
But it is like glue, isn't it? I mean, our family's better because we pray together.
Yes, absolutely. We're bearing one another's burdens. We're caring for one another. We're reminding one another of spiritual truths. Absolutely.
All right.
Megan, well, thanks for being with us again.
I mean, for sitting
thanks
in the therapy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Anytime you need counseling, just
give
me a call. Megan Hill, she's a prayer.
Sweet.
Who knew she was a therapist?
She's the author of Praying Together, editor for the Gospel Coalition, regular contributor to Today in the Word.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. I'd like to talk to you for a moment about ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. You've seen how your freedom is under attack. But if you act now, you can protect your family today and for generations to come. Go to ChristianOutlook.com to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure that the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's ChristianOutlook.com. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.